in the Gospel of John, chapter 3. John, chapter 3. We're back to answering common questions that Christians have. And our question today is, what does it mean when the Bible says that Jesus ascended into heaven? John chapter 3, verse number 12. And Jesus is speaking here. John 3:12. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? All right, we're going to read more there, but you notice there, this is why there's very, very little in the Bible about heaven. If we can't believe what God said about the things that we have seen, how can we believe what God says about things we have never seen? And couldn't really even comprehend if he tried to unfold them to us. Verse 13, and no man hath ascended up to heaven. Okay? No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Okay, now with that, take a look at John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And verse number 28. Jesus speaking again. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. Do you see that? Okay. I leave the world and go to the Father. All right, now look in John chapter 10. John chapter number 10, verse number 1. Jesus speaking. John 10, 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And then later in the same chapter, verse number 27, says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And then finally, John chapter 14, for our starting verses here, John 14, verse number 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today we pray that you'd help us to truly understand the importance of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, and help us to see that without him, none of us here could be certain of going to heaven. Nobody can get to heaven except by the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so little definition. To ascend means to move upward. It means to go up or to rise, whether in air or water or upon a material object, like ascending a mountain or something like that. To rise in a figurative sense is to proceed from an inferior to a superior degree, from mean to noble objects, from particular to general, so forth. So when the Bible says, no man hath ascended into heaven, that's a tricky thing, because in your mind, I know, because in my mind too, you're thinking about Enoch and how he was translated, that he should not see death. In your mind, you might be thinking of Elijah, who we read about earlier today, going into heaven in that chariot of fire. In your mind, you'll think of the rapture of the church, when we're caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And in every instance where a man entered heaven, though, God had to take him there. That man could not ascend. He could not be caught up. He could be caught up by God. He could be taken up. He could be translated. He could ride in a chariot of fire. He could meet the Lord in the air, and the good shepherd would come to the door, and the porter would open the door for the shepherd, for the good shepherd, but not for me, not for you. So no man, and we'll see specific examples of this in a little bit, no man can ascend into heaven. Thank God we can be taken to heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. If he saves you, you become one of his sheep. He's the shepherd. He will lead you through the door into the great heavenly pasture. Thank God. But Jesus said to these disciples, he said, do you think you've seen something? Wait until you see me ascend up into heaven. And when I ascend up into heaven, I'll be going back to the place from where I came. Now, that is not true of any man. Adam, he was made from the dust of the ground, right down here on planet Earth. Eve was made from the man, for the man, right out of good old planet Earth. And everybody that's ever lived on the face of this earth, except for one person, was born on this earth. They began in the womb of a woman and can trace their ancestry all the way back to Adam. That's just plain common sense, plain scientific fact. But one man came into the world and took up residence in a body that was formed in the womb of a virgin without a man fathering that child. He was God manifest in the flesh. And so he started in heaven. He started in heaven. He belonged there. He came down to this earth. And then when he was finished with his work down here on this earth, by his own power, he went back up where he came from. Now that's what we believe. But hey, just me saying that doesn't make it so. We've got to see what the Bible says. Amen? And that's what we're going to do today. So let's look first of all in Proverbs chapter 30. Let's get our definition. Proverbs chapter number 30. Just because we say that a word means something doesn't mean it means that. That's pretty evident with what's going on in our culture today, isn't it? All this what is a woman business going on. Well, I say it's this. Yeah, but what is it really? You know? So we want to see what God says about things. That's what matters. Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 4. Who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Well, think about this. If you were reading Proverbs chapter 30, back in the days when Solomon was living, you'd say, okay, I think I got it. I got it. I know who measured up the oceans. I know who holds the winds in his hands. I know who descends and ascends. And I know who has the power to go from heaven to earth and from earth to heaven. That would be God, clearly. But you'd really scratch your head way back then, and you'd say, okay, I know I am. I know Jehovah. I got that first part, no problem. But you say he had a son? I don't know his son's name. I wasn't even sure he had a son. And if he had a son, I sure couldn't name him. So here you are now, today, 2023. Here you sit. Think about this. Solomon, the Bible says he was the wisest man that ever lived. And we've got Sunday school boys and girls here today who can answer the question that Solomon could not answer. Because you know the name of God's son, his only begotten son. They called his name
Jesus.
Amen. Amen. And he saves his people from their sins. So as a Christian with a Bible, you can answer a question that King Solomon could not answer. We know the name of his son. Now, God, the Son, has the power because he's God. He has the power to descend from heaven and visit this earth. And the Bible says he has the power to ascend from this earth and walk right back up into heaven. How about that? Go to Joshua chapter 6. Still defining the word ascend. Joshua chapter 6. The walls of Jericho here. Joshua chapter 6, starting in verse number 5, or just verse number 5. Joshua 6, 5. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. Okay. So they're marching around this city that's sitting up on a high place, and there's a wall around it, and the wall is going to fall. And by the way, it did. Archaeologists have found it. The wall fell outwards, we know that now, and provided a nice stair step for the Israelites to go up into Jericho and fight their enemies. And the Bible says they went straight up. Okay, so they're down here, and they went straight up from whatever side of that city they were on, straight up from whatever wherever they were around that city, and that is the meaning of the word ascend. Okay, so to ascend is to go straight up from where you are, from a low place to a higher place. Okay, now look at Psalm 24. So I'm on the earth, and I would like to go to heaven. You know, when people are out witnessing, they say to people, would you like to go to heaven when you die? And people say, well, sure, I'd like to go to heaven when I die. And you say to them, well, you can't get there on your own. And you'll find some will say, sure, I think I can. You say, no, you can't get there by your own good works. Okay? Well, how can we say that? Psalm 24, verse number 1. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. It all belongs to the Lord. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? Okay, here we go. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Well, guess what? We are all disqualified, every one of us here today. There is not any son of Adam, there's not any daughter of Eve, now or since the beginning of time, who has clean hands in the eyes of God, a pure heart in the eyes of God, who has never lifted up his soul to something meaningless, vanity, and who has never spoken something that was not 100% true. So if that is the requirement, no one can ascend. No one can ascend up into heaven. What you would have to have is someone descend from heaven who had no sin from Adam or from himself, who lived out his life on this earth having no sin, and who could, at the close of his time on the earth, say, I have clean hands, I have a pure heart, I have not lifted up my soul to vanity, I have not sworn deceitfully. The only person who could qualify to ascend, to go straight up from here to there, is the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason you have to trust Jesus Christ to take you to heaven is, according to the Bible, you do not qualify to go to heaven. People say, well, I think I'm going to go to heaven when I die. I think I'm good enough to go to heaven. That's because you're consulting yourself. And you're not consulting the one who governs heaven. What did we just read? The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? He that hath clean hands. It's his hill. He's the Lord. He said, if you want to come from down there to up here, you must have clean hands. And you don't. You don't. You've got to have a pure heart, but you don't. You can't have ever said anything that wasn't true, never lied, and you have. You can't have spent any time in your life giving your soul to vanity, and everyone has done that. So you either find someone who can take you there, who qualifies to take you there, or you don't get there. You don't get there. So, see, when you witness to lost people, they think, looking at us, they think, oh, you think you're good enough to go to heaven. you're just displaying your total lack of understanding with regards to the gospel. I don't think for one second that I'm good enough to go to heaven. I know that I'm not, which is why I sought and I found someone who could take me there, because I know I can't get there on my own. Look in Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah 14. I'm going to look here at the first one who gave this an attempt to ascend. That was Lucifer. You might have heard of Lucifer. He's down here on the earth, but that's not good enough for him. Verse number 12, Isaiah chapter 14, verse number 12, speaking of Lucifer. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Okay, now look, wherever he is when he says this, to get where he wants to go, he has to go past the clouds, defined in the Bible as the first heaven, past the stars, defined in the Bible as the second heaven, to get to the place where God's throne is, defined in the Bible as the third heaven. Now, what did Lucifer say when he wanted to go from here to there? He said, I will ascend. Verse 15, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Now, this might surprise some of you about Lucifer. Lucifer is not going to end up in hell because he had a drug habit. He's not going to be cast into hell because he got drunk all the time. He's not going to be cast into hell because he's a sexual pervert or a thief. He's going to be cast into hell because he tried to get from earth to heaven himself. He sought to ascend. Now, when you try to witness to somebody who's not saved, you say, you know, you really need Jesus as your Savior. They say, I don't need Jesus as my Savior. Well, where are you going when you die? Well, I'm going to heaven. You know why they're not going to heaven? Do you know why they're going to hell? They're not going to hell because they're a criminal. They're not going to hell because they're a loser. They're not going to hell because they're an atheist. They're going to hell because they are trying to get to heaven on their own. And you can't get to heaven on your own. Who says so? The one who built it. The one who governs it. And the one to whom it belongs. So the surest way to get to hell is to try to ascend to heaven. Lucifer, he's your example. I'm going to go from here to there. Well, you need a Savior. No, I don't. I'm going to do it on my own. God's going to throw him in the pit of hell. And the Bible says to every one of us and everyone everywhere, wouldn't you like to go to heaven? Well, sure. Okay, well, you need to trust Jesus. Amen. Well, no, I'll just do it on my own. You're going to end up in hell because you don't have clean hands and you don't have a pure heart. You've had some sort of vanity in your life, and you've said some things that were not true. So you can't get there on your own. Amen. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Do you remember when King David had a son, and that son died before David died? And that son, by the grace of God, he was taken into the presence of the Lord. And it was revealed to David that he would one day be with his son again. But his son, because his son had died, his son would not come back down here and be with David. David said, I'll go be with him. He'll not come back to me. Okay, so the Lord gave David salvation. Psalm 32, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, David said. And so David trusted the Lord. Psalm 51 makes that very clear. God saved him, Psalm 32. God tells us that's a picture of New Testament salvation in Romans chapter number 4. And the Bible speaks in the book of Acts of the sure mercies of David. The sure mercies of David. David was sure that he had eternal life. Why? Because he had trusted in the Lord. And the Lord had forgiven him of all his sins. And all of that is in the Bible, if you search for it. Now look at this in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse number 31. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now think about this. Peter is preaching in Acts chapter 2 to a congregation of Jews on the streets of Jerusalem. And he dares to say to them, your greatest hero, King David, the giant slayer, King David, the enemy conqueror, King David, the psalm writer, King David, the kingdom establisher, the greatest man in the history of your nation, was not good enough to get himself into heaven. David is not ascended, he says. He says, so where does that leave the rest of you? And so he preaches to that Jewish crowd, Christ was crucified. Christ was raised from the dead. Christ ascended into heaven. And if David needed somebody to get him to heaven, I guarantee you need somebody to get you into heaven. And on that day, 3,000 of those Jews standing on that street in Jerusalem put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ and found a Savior, just like David found a Savior. And they quit trying to work themselves to heaven by laws and by sacrifices and rules and rituals and good deeds. Now maybe you're here this afternoon, and maybe your grandmother is a great Christian. She couldn't get to heaven on her own, you know. Maybe your grandfather's the finest man you ever knew. He couldn't get to heaven on his own. Your pastor, your Sunday school teacher, your mother, your father, the finest person you can think about right now, is not qualified to ascend because everybody has sinned. Only Jesus Christ said, I came down and I'm going back up. And he did. And he did. Now, if you want to get there, he will be glad to take you. But you can't go without him. All right, look at John chapter 6. John chapter number 6 and verse 60. Here Jesus is preaching some things that, well, the disciples didn't understand it. That upset them. They had a little griping session about it. Which I always thought was kind of odd that a bunch of men, fishermen, tax collectors, accountants, expected to understand everything that the Son of God taught. And when they heard Jesus teach something that they didn't understand, they started complaining about it. Hey, have you ever read this Bible? People say, yeah, I read it. There's stuff in there I don't understand. Well, thank God. Thank God. When God wrote a book, it was more challenging than a comic book or a daily newspaper. I would expect to find some things in the Bible that I couldn't understand. John chapter 6, verse number 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, He said unto them, Doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? So he said, you think that what I just taught you bothers you? Wait until the day that you're standing and I'm fellowshipping with you, you're fellowshipping with me, and you think I'm going to fix all your problems and I just leave and go right back up to heaven. You think a sermon that you don't understand bothers you? Wait till I leave. Now, he didn't say, wait until my Father comes and gets me with a chariot. He didn't say, wait until an archangel blows a trumpet and I'm caught up into the clouds. He didn't say, wait until the Father translates me. He said, I came down here to do a job, and when I finish my job, I'm going to leave and go back up there. All by himself, all on his own. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse number 9. Jesus is crucified. He rises from the dead. He spends about 6 weeks on the earth. After his resurrection, instructing his disciples. And then in Acts chapter 1, verse number 9, the Bible says, And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Do you know who's bringing him back? Nobody. He's coming back. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Well, if he's coming back the same way he left, nobody showed up with a white horse for Jesus to ride up into heaven. Oh, this is great. He's alive from the dead. He's back. He's back. He's going to protect us. He's going to build his kingdom. It's going to be wonderful. And Jesus said, okay, you got your instructions. Do your best, and I'll help you. And while they're watching, away he goes. No chariots, no whirlwinds, no angels. He just went back up where he came from. You say, I don't believe that. Well, you better believe it. You better believe it, because everybody else you know ends up in a grave. And that's the last you'll hear from him. This man said, I'm going in that grave, and in exactly 72 hours, I'm walking out. And he did. 500 eyewitnesses, by the way. 500 eyewitnesses, they reduced their testimony to writing. Acts chapter 3. Verse number 19. Repent ye therefore, and be converted. Okay, there's the instruction, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Okay, now watch this. 21, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So let's say today you had the money, lots and lots of money, and you had the power to build you a hyper Elon Musk type of rocket ship. And you were not going to go up just to the International Space Station, floating somewhere above the Earth's atmosphere, not too far away. No, but you could make a rocket that would get you all the way from to the very door of heaven. That door that you read about in John 10, The door of heaven, Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, I beheld a door, it says. There's a door in heaven. You say, I don't believe that. Well, okay. The Bible says one thing, you say another. I'm going to stick with the Bible. It's been around the better part of 3,500 years with not one proven error in it, which is about 3,500 years longer than you've gone without making an error. So I'll stick with the Bible. Anyway, so you get in this rocket ship and you fly all the way up there and you just kind of chart your course. You think you know where you're going. You read the book of Amos. You saw that belt on Orion and you aim for Maseroth and you went right past it. You went due north, past the North Star, hit the sides of the north, and just right then you set that rocket ship right down, right outside the door of heaven. Outside the door of heaven. And you get out, helmet in one hand and baptism certificate in the other. And you say, open a door. Nobody opens the door. Say, hey, here I am, open the door. And nobody answers. And finally you say, you have to open the door. And you know what? Nobody has to open the door to you. If you could get there, if you could get there. I'm not saying you could. Have you got clean hands? If you don't, we're not opening the door. Do you have a pure heart? If you don't, we're not opening that door. See, no vanity, not one time ever in your life, then we're not opening the door. Everything you ever said was always absolutely true. You never deceived. You never exaggerated. You never hid part of the truth. Okay, when we don't have to open the door. You know what the Bible said? Jesus Christ ascended. And when he got back to where he left to come down here and die for your sins, the Bible says in verse number 21, whom the heaven must receive. Whom the heaven must receive. His hands were clean. The door had to open. His heart was pure. The door had to open. No vanity in his life. No lies on his lips. The heaven must receive him. Let me ask you something. If the only person for whom the door swings open offers to take you on his merits to heaven, why wouldn't you trust him? Why would you try to stack bricks together to build you a tower whose top could reach to heaven? When if you did reach heaven with your tower or your rocket ship or your religion, they still wouldn't open the door to you. They still wouldn't let you in. They'd say, how did you get here, you thief, you robber? You're not getting in some other way. There's no other way. But here's the Lord Jesus. He says, I'll tell you what. Trust, just trust me, and I'll come get you, and you can come to the Father by me. I have no hopes of ascending. I'm not going to even try to ascend. I'm just going to trust the one who did, whom the heaven must receive. Now look in 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. All of our information is taken from the Word of God. You say, oh, well, I don't agree with what you're saying. Well, then really, your argument is not with me. It's with the Bible. You can say, I don't believe the Bible, or I believe the Bible, but it's nothing personal between you and me. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. And we talked about this before. The people who put out the modern versions, Bible versions, they apparently didn't believe in the deity of Christ. They didn't believe he was God manifest in the flesh. So they changed this verse. And instead it says he, pronoun he, was manifest in the flesh. Okay, that's not a great mystery, if you ask me. It happens almost every hospital in the world at least once a week and sometimes once an hour. Everybody here is manifest in the flesh. You know how I know? Because I can see you. You're manifest in the flesh. And none of us is godly. Look, here's the great mystery of godliness. God, it says, what's his name? I am Jehovah Almighty. What's his son's name? See? Jesus. God manifest in the flesh. There's the Son of God. All right, so he is justified in the Spirit. How? He lives a sinless life, goes to the cross to offer himself a sacrificial payment for your sins, for my sins. And the Father says to the Spirit, is he without sin? And the Spirit says to the Father, I declare him righteous, justified in the Spirit. Okay, so he is an acceptable sacrifice for our sins. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And then it says, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and then look at this, received up into glory. How about that? So the one who came down here, God manifest in the flesh, when he ascended and went back up there, he was received. Lucifer, cast down. Anybody else who gets on their, tries to get in on their own merits, cast down. But when Jesus got there, he was received, whom the heavens must receive. Why? He met the qualifications to ascend to that holy hill of the Lord. How about that? Now, here's a great trick. The trick of the devil is not to get you to drink. That's just your flesh. The trick of the devil is not to get you to live in sin, to commit sin, whatever sins you think are the big ones. That's not the devil's work. The devil's work is to get you to repeat the error that is going to end him up in hellfire, to get you to do what he did. And his error was trying to ascend, that is, trying to get to heaven on his own merits. So Satan, he's not the one that set up the bars. That's just the flesh. Satan didn't set up the gambling dens, the houses of prostitution and all of that stuff. That's just the flesh. You know what Satan did? Satan set up Protestantism, Catholicism, Islam, Buddhism. Satan set up religions so that people would think that God wanted them to work their way to heaven on their own merits. He wants you so that they would make you think that God wants you to do do it on your own, but Satan wants you to do what he did, see, so that you'll end up where he knows he's going, where he's going to end up, in that hellfire. And that's why the Bible in the New Testament calls Satan and those who do his bidding ministers of righteousness, angels of light, who preach another gospel. He didn't say they didn't preach. He didn't say they didn't proclaim a gospel. He didn't say they were not angelic. He didn't say they didn't talk about righteousness. But if somebody tells you that the way to heaven is your baptism, your church membership, your good works, your religion, guess what? That is satanic. That's satanic because you can't get there on your own good works. You can get there on Christ's good works and His alone. Now let's go back to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse number 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll tell you to come join me one day. No, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He didn't say, come join me. He said, trust me, and I'll come get you and take you there. Big difference. Verse 4. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believeth me for the very works' sake. So what is he asking? Philip says, I want to see the Father. I want to see the Father. I want to see the Father. And Jesus said, believe me, and you'll see the Father. And if you don't believe me, you'll never see the Father. I want to go to heaven. Jesus said, I'm the way. How do I get there? You don't need to know how to get there. You just need to know Jesus. Amen. Well, those many mansions, how do I get to that mansion city? He said he would come get you. So all the religions in the world, even the religions that say that they're not religions, are designed to get people to try and ascend into heaven. That is, go up on your own merits. And the Bible offers us a rapture, a catching away, a translation, an escort, but warns us not to try to ascend, because there's only one who gets to that door and it swings open, because he's worthy, and that's Jesus Christ. So if the rapture happens today, what are we going to do? We're not going to be caught up to heaven. We're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And he will go to the door and say, Father, I'd like to come in. Well, what's that big crowd out there? Well, they're with me. Well, if you'll vouch for them, I'll open the door. And Jesus says, I give you my hand on it. And the doors swing open, and we go in, not as thieves, not as robbers, but right through the door that opened, not to us, but to Jesus. Okay? So to ascend up is to get up, to ascend is to go up because you're qualified to go up. And there's only one that was ever qualified, and that is Jesus Christ. And if you haven't trusted him, I wouldn't wait. I'd do it today. Do it today. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we're so grateful that we have your word and that you've given us the what we need to know. You've shown us very clearly, Lord, that we are not worthy, we are not capable, we are not qualified to get ourselves to heaven, no matter how hard we try, no matter what religion we believe, but we need Jesus Christ, who does qualify. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you cared for us, you came down and manifest, God manifest in the flesh, and you lived a perfectly sinless life, died on the cross for us, all because you wanted us to be in heaven with you. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today that has never put their trust and faith in you, that today would be the day that they know that they'll go to heaven when they die because of what you did, because you're their Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah.